Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What is truth? That question that we just heard Pontius Pilate ask in this gospel reading is a question that is very relevant for our contemporary society in light of events and trends that have taken shape over recent years. Some politicians claim that the news coverage about them is so biased that it is, in fact, now just fake news. And there are fact-checking groups out there that make it their business, their full-time jobs, to point out the untrue claims that are made by politicians and by various public organizations. Most of us, if you're active at all on the internet, have probably seen posts on the internet that you immediately knew were fake, whether it's fake news or just something totally faked. But I would wager that if you're like me, you have probably also been duped at certain times by a report or by a picture that at first looked very real and convincing, but then later on, after doing a little bit of digging and a little bit of research, we later learned it was just totally fabricated, totally false. The United States government intelligence agencies have indicated, based on a lot of the information that they have gathered, that there are agents of foreign governments that are actively publishing fake news stories and other false information online in order to deceive people on all sides of the political spectrum, in order to create confusion and division and to destabilize our society. Those bad actors know how to manipulate those social media sites in order to rack up a number of views or likes, so that when you look at a certain piece that is posted, you see that many other people have been looking at it. People fall for that trick. If so many people are reading this and sharing this, then it must be true. Sadly, this is the world that we live in today. Photoshopped pictures alter reality. Breaking news is sometimes actually just something that was made up by a person sitting on a couch in a man cave somewhere. What are we to believe? Pontius Pilate lived in a similar situation. Of course, he didn't have to wrestle with the problem of fake news on the internet, but there were multiple groups at his time that were making widely different claims. He lived in a world with various different religions and philosophies about life that were all competing for the people's adherence and belief. And as for himself, it seems like he didn't really have any particularly strong allegiances. He was just a governor who had been sent to a faraway province, far away from the capital of the Roman Empire, and he was just trying to carry out his duty and keep peace and order in the territory that he was put in charge of. But in order to do that on this particular day, he had to figure out who was telling the truth. Was the Sanhedrin, that council of the leaders of the Jewish people, or was Jesus? And so he spoke these three famous words: what is truth? But that question wasn't just prompted by the situation in Jerusalem on that Good Friday morning. The question really sprung, as it still does today, from emptiness in people's hearts, from fear, from the doubts that are inside of the hearts of every human being. There's so many people out there who are claiming to be right, who are claiming to have the right way to God. There's so many who are claiming that their way is the only right way. There's so many warnings about not being right. In our weakness, we can often find ourselves wondering sometimes, what is truth? Or we might even wonder more directly, are we Christians right about the truth? Because after all, if eternity hangs in the balance, that is an awfully long time if we're wrong. What is truth? We want to know for certain as well. And even though Jesus didn't directly answer that question from Pilate, the gospel reading before us today does give us the answers that we're looking for. gospel reading shows us the truth that Jesus isn't who people wanted him to be, but Jesus is who he claims to be. Now, the trial of Jesus before those Jewish leaders wasn't really so much about anything that Jesus had done. Rather, that the entire trial of Jesus on that Maundy Thursday evening and night really hinged on who Jesus was. The opposition to Jesus and to his ministry had started long before that trial. Earlier in the Gospel of John, we read about how Jesus was almost stoned to death by a crowd of people because they believed that he had committed blasphemy against God by claiming that he himself is God, the eternal Son of God, when he said to them, "Before Abraham was, I am," using that name that God had identified himself by when he revealed his identity to Moses, when he sent Moses to rescue the people out of Egypt. He said, "I am who I am. I am the God of your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So by Jesus saying, "Before Abraham was, I am," he was clearly making a claim to be the eternal God himself. And so at the trial, the sham trial before the Jewish ruling council, they tried to pin on Jesus a false charge about something that they said he was threatening to do. They said he was threatening to destroy the temple, which was the pinnacle of the religious life of the Jewish people. But that false charge went nowhere, because obviously Jesus was not capable of physically doing that from everything that they could observe. But the high priest, Caiaphas, saw to the very heart of the matter. Here was a teacher, a preacher from Nazareth, who was claiming to be the Messiah, the Son of God himself. And so when all the other false accusations against Jesus failed, Caiaphas came directly out and asked Jesus, "Are you in fact the Son of the Blessed One? Tell us." And now, having been charged in God's name to answer, Jesus did reply, "Yes, it is as you say." Now, naturally, the Jewish authorities knew that they couldn't use that charge against Jesus when they brought him before the Roman governor, Pilate. So they changed the accusation a bit in order to make it a political problem that they felt Pilate could understand and could not ignore. They said, "He is claiming to be a king, and therefore he's challenging the authority of Caesar in Rome." Now, Pilate could understand, and he had to be concerned about that. But when Pilate began investigating and began questioning Jesus, he saw there this humble, bound, bruised, yet quiet and peaceful man. And he just couldn't bring himself to believe that Jesus actually was a king, or really was claiming to be a king, as those Jewish leaders were charging. And so he asked with a bit of skepticism, "You are a king then? Really?" Pilate and Jesus' accusers had this in common: Jesus was not who they expected him to be. And Jesus wasn't who they wanted him to be. For Pilate, it would have just been a lot easier if Jesus actually had been a rebel against the Roman rule of Palestine and Jerusalem, as so many others at that time were. Then, if Jesus really had been active in rebellion against the Roman rule, Pilate could simply have had him executed without a second thought given to the matter. But there, on that Good Friday morning, before the Roman governor, stood a king who didn't look or act at all like a king. Pilate knew that there was something that was just not right about that situation. There was something that in fact was causing his wife to be deeply troubled, because God had given her a dream that was very troubling to her about Jesus and the events that would happen that day. And she came to Pilate before this event and asked Pilate not to have anything to do with that innocent man, Jesus. But in the end, however, the Roman governor, Pilate, went against his conscience and against the urging of his wife, and he simply did what was pragmatic and expedient. He sentenced Jesus to death. Now, as for those Jewish leaders who were and the crowd of people that they incited to call for the death, for the crucifixion of Jesus, and for instead the criminal Barabbas to be released and to be freed from any criminal prosecution. That is truly a sad scene. The Gospel of John opens with these words about this very thing that would happen to Jesus. When John wrote, "He, Jesus, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." In his earthly ministry, throughout the 3 years or so that Jesus had taught the people and done miracles in their presence, Jesus had warned the crowds of people who followed him a number of times that he was not the kind of king that they were looking for, and that his kingdom was something different from what they wanted to be established. Jesus had rejected the idea of himself being made a king of a popular, powerful, earthly kingdom, which the devil had tempted him to do during those 40 days that Jesus fasted in the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. When the devil called on him, on Jesus, to bow down and worship him, and then the devil would give him all the kingdoms and all the glory of the world. Jesus used God's word to fight against that temptation of the devil, saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." Many of the Jewish people were looking for a political savior, a king who would restore the glory that had previously belonged to the nation of Israel when they were rulers not just of a small area in Palestine, but of an area that extended far to the north and the south. Others of the Jewish people were looking for a kind of priestly king who would clean up the corrupt worship practices of the temple and who would be a true teacher of righteousness among God's people. But here was a carpenter's son from a podunk town of in Galilee, Nazareth. No, they thought, he couldn't possibly be who he claims to be. And so also today we see that many people react to Jesus and his claims in a very similar way. They want Jesus to be something other than who and what he claims to be. One well-known international rock star who also happens to be a very serious Christian nevertheless said this about Jesus. He said, "My Jesus is the one who drove money changers out of the temple." In other words, he wants Jesus to be a social justice warrior, a political activist. Other people want Jesus to be their financial planner. Other people want Jesus or his policies or plans to be what the government bases their plans and policies on. Others want Jesus to be someone who, in the name of love, they say, never judges anyone for any action or word or thought or lifestyle that is contrary to God's word. Many people want Jesus to be nothing more than an influential teacher or a good man who taught us how to do good to others. But what is the truth? Well, in our world today, people have a tendency to create their own truth, their own belief system, and they convince themselves that something really is true simply for no other reason than that they believe it to be true. "It's true for me, and that's all that matters," many people say. But there, before Pontius Pilate, stood someone who was not only the true or even faithful, but before Pilate stood Jesus, who declared that he himself is the way and the truth and the life. And John reminds us in the first chapter of his gospel that regardless of whether people believe in him or not, the fact is that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ to all of the world. And the Bible also itself is the truth. It is given by inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. God gave us his word in written form because at the very beginning, when the devil tempted Adam and Eve, his main tactic was lying about what God had said. Satan is the great deceiver, the great word twister, the great half-truth teller, the great photoshopper, the great fake news writer. This is how Satan fights. He fills the world with his lies. Just as he tempted Adam and Eve, he says to us, "Did God really say?" He gets us to question the truth of God's word. But just as Jesus fought back against the temptations of the devil in the wilderness, using nothing more than the word of God itself from the Old Testament, so also the Holy Spirit has given us the Bible, God's word, so that we know for sure what God's truth is. And he tells us that that truth will set us free. But what is truth? Well, the truth is that Jesus of Nazareth is who he claimed to be. Thank God for that. He stood before Pilate and told Pilate that he was a king, but with a kingdom from another place, a kingdom that operates in a completely different way than all the other kingdoms of the world that they had experienced at that time or had heard about in the past. His is a kingdom of truth. In his kingdom, Jesus says, the last are first, and the greatest are servants of all. Here is a truth, that Jesus made himself last, taking the very nature of a servant. Truth, God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus perfectly obeyed everything the Father has commanded, and he faithfully did everything God the Father had given him to do, including dying on the cross. Truth, Jesus did this in order to be our perfect substitute and to win eternal life in heaven for us. But Jesus also did this because there are other truths. Truth, the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Truth, sin must be punished by a holy God. Truth, Jesus took our sins upon himself and willingly suffered our punishment, being forsaken by God the Father as he hung in agony on the cross. Truth, we should have suffered for all eternity because of our guilt. Truth, Jesus poured out his holy, precious blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins, so that we will not suffer for eternity in hell, but instead will live forever with God in the perfect peace of heaven. Here is truth. We don't need Jesus to be a financial planner for our lives or to be a social protester or just some nice guy who makes us feel good about ourselves and tells us to be good to others. What we need, what we really need, is rescue from sin, from death, and from hell. Otherwise, we would be lost forever. Thank God that there in Pilate's hall stands the truth, Jesus, our Savior, who rescues us from God's coming wrath. Yes, the crowds would ultimately choose Barabbas instead of choosing Jesus. But Jesus would go on to do what he came to do. He would save his people from their sins. Pilate couldn't believe it when he presented that choice to the crowd of people standing outside his palace. The crowds rejected Jesus, and instead they chose a criminal, a murderer, to be released to them. The religious leaders of the Jewish people didn't want Jesus to be that kind of king, that kind of Messiah that he claimed to be. But with the eyes of faith that God has graciously given to us, we do see a true king standing there in Pilate's hall. We see the King of Kings, who rules a different kind of kingdom. A kingdom of truth, in which people hear his voice and listen to him. Let us listen then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The King of truth, who cannot lie, has promised to us, "Whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have eternal life." Amen.